Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 37. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 37. Mark, chapter 6, verse 37 reads this way. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, and Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity and the privilege that we have to gather together in your house, to open your word, and then, Lord, to call upon you as your local New Testament church, that you would bless this time that we have to worship you and to hear from you, to bless us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, and again, Lord, that you might be honored and glorified and our lives blessed and empowered to be the witnesses that you've called us to be, the salt of the earth, the light of the world that points people to you. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of the message this evening is A Spiritual Command and Our Natural Tendency. A Spiritual Command and Our Natural Tendency. The Lord gave a command to the disciples, but they looked to the natural realm. That's our tendency. God says, here's what I want you to do. And then we kind of begin to figure out, how are we going to do this? So the disciples' testimony of God's grace has to do really with the power of God that's in their lives. And that's what God wants to do for you and I. So let me ask you tonight, because this is an important question. Do you want to experience God's grace and power in your life? That's where we need to start. Because, believe it or not, listen to the question. Do you want to experience God's grace and power in your life? Somebody might say, nope, don't want it. And therefore, what's that person going to get? Amen. Nothing. They're not going to get it. They're going to get exactly what they asked for. I don't want it. Okay, God says, you won't get it. And so there's no surprise there, but it's also equally important that the Lord said that all those that ask for the Holy Spirit, that's the power of God that we've been indwelt with. That is the power of God. And so he says this, if you ask your Heavenly Father who gives all good things, will he not give it to you? And he gave us the illustration, you know, if a son asks for bread or for food, is he going to get food from a loving father? And of course the answer is yes, God's going to take care of that. Or a natural father would do the very same thing. So does God know what he's asking you and I as his children to do? Does God know what he's asking us to do? Right? He does. We have to start there. God understands what he's asking us to do. Why do we act like he doesn't know what he's asking us to do? Lord, I mean, listen, we look at what God is saying, I want you to do, and sometimes we can look and say, I don't think you know who you're asking to do that. And he does. And we can feel that way. And here's the good news, ready? God knows that we feel that way. God already knows how we feel before we even feel that way. When we're presented with certain things in eternity past, God knew us. And so that there's comfort in that. So rest assured, we're not surprising God with our thoughts and what we're feeling, specifically what we're feeling about the Word of God. Okay? So a couple more things here before we get started. The conflict is with what we know and think. Here's where the conflict is at. And what God thinks and knows. Very carefully. Listen. The conflict with us really is what we know and think versus what God thinks and knows. Do you understand? There's the conflict. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. God knows what we think and what we know. He knows that, but he also knows what we don't know, and that's what he knows and what he thinks. And he wants to reveal those things to us. But we have ingrained in us a certain way of thinking, do we not? And that is a hard mold or rut to get out of. But God's in the rut-breaking business. He is wanting to liberate us and to give us freedom. But we have to get outside of the way we think and the way that we feel to move by faith. That's a hard step. You know, there's a lot of things that we can contemplate in life about how we feel about certain things. And then God says, but here's
what I want you to do by faith. So God knows that we must deal with or deny the natural man in order to hear and follow the Holy Spirit through the new man. That's God's intent. So therefore, trials are allowed to change our way of thinking and to allow God to have his way with us. So there has to be a change of thinking in our thinking. And God is the one that brings that about. We can't do that for ourselves, but God will do it through trials. So God says, I want you to follow me, and I want you to see what I have to show you. So again, we're going to look at this spiritual command and our natural tendency, and this is a truth that applies in many different areas. And we're just going to look at quickly four thoughts: a desert place, the trial, the test, and then the lesson. Okay, very simply, and we'll move through this pretty quickly here. So the desert place, I want you to back up to verse 30, and I want you to know the apostles are coming back. Remember that the apostles sent them out to cast out devils and to heal, and they accomplished it. Don't you love it when it works that way? God says, here, do this, and this is going to happen, and you do it, and it happens. Amen? What experience do you have with that? Well, God says, if you'll believe on me for your eternal life, I'll save you. And did he save you? Amen? All right, so he saved you. So you already have the first experience. That's the first one, and that's just the first of many to follow. That's where it all begins in salvation. So God says, here's what I'm asking you to do, and when you do it, I'm going to meet you there, and I'm going to give you eternal life. Well, he told the disciples, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and preach the kingdom of God. I want you to heal the sick, and that was taking place. All right, so verse 30, now it says this, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So question, were the disciples a little bit excited about what was taking place in their lives? That's a good place to be. That's a great place to be. By the way, that's where God wants us to be. Let me tell you, testimony after testimony, let me tell you what God has done in my life. Let me tell you, Joseph's brothers, Joseph, let me tell you, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Let me tell you all that God has done for me. The same with David. Let me tell you about the lion and the bear, and of course, then Goliath, and then all the other things that God did through David's life. God wants to give us a testimony. But we still have to contend with the way that we think and the way that God thinks, and that's really a lifelong process, but the more we get in tune with the Lord, the easier it is to stop following what we think and submit ourselves before the Lord. Okay, so let's see what's taking place here. Look at verse 31. Now remember where they're at. They're on the spiritual mountaintop, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. So what was the purpose of going to the desert place? It was a plan for rest. But did they get rest? You're going to find out they didn't get rest. How many times do we plan for something and they don't turn out the way we think they should turn out? That is a time of testing and trial, but it's also a time of trusting the Lord in the middle of that and not losing our joy, but knowing that we're still in God's hands. I want to ask you this question. I want you to think about this. At any point in this historical account of what took place, was there ever a doubt in what the Lord was going to do? Was there ever a doubt in what Jesus was going to do concerning the feeding of the multitudes? There was never a doubt in his mind. So he was always in control, and his will was going to come to pass. But along that process, he was trying to draw his disciples to become less dependent on themselves and on their strength and on their thinking, and lean to the way that God thinks, and look to his way. All right, and this is the process that God is wanting to work out in our lives. Why? Why? So that we can enjoy the rest that he's promised, and see the work of God in us. And so, the Lord did want them to come away and rest. And if they were looking to the Lord, they would have found that rest even though it was in the midst of work. Imagine this, that you and I can be given rest in the midst of a trial or work. That's what the world needs to see. That is the working of God. That is the, what do I mean by that? The Israelitish maid was taken captive. That was an unbelievable trial in her life. And yet she had compassion for the one who took her out of her land, that he might be with the prophet that is in Israel, because he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, where did that come from? How did she know that? She was in step with the Lord. Was that the will of God? May I tell you this? I dare say she knew that would happen if he were in Israel, or there with the prophet that is in Israel, that he would be recovered. How did she know that? She had been in step with the Lord. Daniel, when they were taken captive and they forbid, they were asking, they requested the prince of the eunuchs that they would not defile themselves with the portion of the meat which the king ate of and the wine which he drank. They requested of the prince of the eunuchs that they would not defile themselves. So you know what they said? I want you to know, prince of the eunuch, Beltzar, that if we eat of this according to our faith, they had to go out on the limb, if you will, as they say, and say, because of our faith and our dedication to the Lord, this would cause us to defile ourselves. Let us eat pulse for 10 days. And then you take a look for 10 days, because he was afraid about his head. And literally, it would have been his head. And so they looked at him. They said, okay, I can give you 10 days. Let's see what you look like. And he said, boy, you guys look better. And so God blessed. Listen, did Daniel and the three Hebrew children know that God was going to do that for them? Yeah, they knew it. Listen, God wants you and I to know the will of God and have that kind of confidence and experience. There is a place that God wants to bring us to, and it's a process to get there, but allow him to have full confidence in the process of God. Here's a process of God. One day, very, very soon, and for all eternity, you and I are going to be in the presence of God Almighty, in the very presence. Do you believe that?
Amen.
That's important. Do you have confidence in that process? So if we have confidence in God getting us to heaven, do you think he could fulfill his promises here on earth? We're the only ones that have doubts on that, right? Or we're the only ones that get stuck of, well, you don't know me, but God does. Amen. All right. So here's this desert place. The plan was to rest. Now comes the trial. So they go away to this desert place. And notice what happens here in verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. They didn't want anybody to know. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. They passed him up, right? They said, we know where you're going, and we're going to follow. And so, remember, he was telling his disciples, I want you to come here to get some rest. I want you to get here some rest. You know, the disciples could have said, look, he called us over here to get some rest, and he's not giving us any rest. Now remember, listen, when he was hungry, the disciples went to get him food in John chapter 4, and he was talking to the Samaritan woman, and they came back, and they said, Master, eat, and he said, I've got food to eat of that you don't know of, and they're all asking each other who gave him food. And he says, my meat, what I feed on, is the will of God. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Isn't that something? So watch this now. He doesn't change, and so they go over there, and they outrun him. And then notice verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with what? Compassion. Now listen, here's the trial. It equates compassion. Listen, when a trial comes into your life, do you love God? That's the key. Did Jesus love the will of God? Don't answer out loud. Do we really love the will of God for our life? Be ye holy, for I'm holy. I've called you to be a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, ambassadors for Christ, a new creature. All these things. Do we love the will of God? That's important. If not, then we need to ask God to fix our love. That's where it begins. If you're saved, you can ask him to do that. All right. So, he had compassion toward them in verse 34, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. There in verse 34. So here's, remember, desert place was a plan to rest. Now all of a sudden the disciples get here, and what is he doing? He's working. In their eyes, he's working. Are they resting? No, they're not resting either. And so he's there in the midst, you know, and they're there. But there is, listen. There is a rest in the Lord Jesus Christ in every circumstance and situation, if we'll have it. So watch this. Ready? The test. Here's the test. We saw the desert place. We've seen the trial. And now here's the test. Ready? Verse 35. And by the way, the disciples brought this on themselves. So that's kind of humorous here. But the Lord knew this was going to take place and was way ahead of the disciples. By the way, the Lord is way ahead of his disciples today, too. All right. So verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place." Newsflash. Newsflash. This is a desert place. Well, the Lord said, yeah, I said that's where we should go. And that's where we're at. It's a desert place. So here's what they're thinking. Ready? Ready? Now listen. Send them away. Send them away. Right? So we can get some rest here. And then they even give a reason here. Now, so watch this. Ready? This is a desert place, verse 35. And now the time is far past. Another news flash. Lord didn't know that. So now the time is far past. Verse 36, send them away. This is the second time they're saying that, right? Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Now, that's not a bad idea. They did need to eat, and the Lord saw that. But the Lord had other plans. And the Lord, listen, our plans and the Lord's plans oftentimes are not the same plan. And we have to be willing to trust, believe, have faith in the Lord, even when it doesn't make any sense. And this is the lesson that God is trying to drive home to the disciples for the proverbial light bulb to come on. So he says, they don't have anything to eat. Send them out into the villages. For verse 36 at the bottom, they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. What? They never, that came out of left field. They never saw that coming. And so, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, now here's where they, so they heard the command. They heard the command. And then they flew right away to the natural thinking. Instead of saying, how is that to be accomplished, Lord? There wouldn't have been anything wrong with asking that. But you see, listen, oftentimes here's the command, we go. Wait a minute. How do we go? How? That's a good question. The Lord has given to you and I, when you read a command that he's asked his people, that he said his people are going to do and be, a good question for you personally, because you still, and I still, have to learn what God is asking of you and me personally. How do I do that, Lord? Instead of, here's where we go, here's where we come to, ready? I can't do it. So we don't do it. Does that negate God's command? Does that mean God doesn't expect that out of us now? So now we don't have to be holy. We don't have to be a peculiar people. We don't have to be ambassadors for Christ because we don't know how to do it. Because we can't do it. So now we just leave the work undone. Well, guess what? We're not finding the rest of God because the rest of God is in the work of God. We're not finding the meat of God to feed on that strengthens us, because the Lord's meat was to do the will of the Father. Now, wait a minute. Let me help you before you've piled on this really heavy weight on you It's the Lord's work in his strength. So here's what happened. Ready? There was that Samaritan woman, and he began to tell her, in the power of God, her need of the Savior that was right before her. Did she believe what he said? Was the Lord the light in her life? Did she go back to her village and give a testimony of who she ran into? God wants to do the same in your life and mine. The problem is, we see the work, we can't do it, we leave it. And God says, no, let me show you something. So he says, give you them to eat, verse 37. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Shall we go and do that? And then he saith to them, watch this, here's the lesson. That was the test. Here was the test, ready? Give ye them to eat. That was a question. The test was, how are you going to do that? Are you going to look to the spiritual realm, or are you going to look to the physical realm? That's the question. God gives you and I a command. Where are we looking? How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? Well, guess what? We're not going to do it. But God can and wants to do it. So watch this. Ready? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. He wasn't asking them, how many loaves? Take a guess. No, go and see. You know why? He wanted to show how God can take little and make much out of it. God wants you and I to know that he can take little, that's you and I, and make much out of it. He's not wanting to show us how little we are and for us with all of our might and all of our effort to try to make something out of it, because it's not going to come to anything. It's not what he wants. So he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, so that means they went out there and got the number, didn't they? They say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Don't you love it when God's in control? God's running things, but he's using the disciples. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when they had taken 5 loaves, and when he had taken what was there, and when we let God take what's ours, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And notice, the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. That's impressive. That's impressive. Who was it that did that? Who did that? Oh, it wasn't the disciples? It wasn't their grand plan to go and buy all the stuff and bring it back and have a church picnic? No. But I want you to watch this process. Ready? Verse 41, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves. There must be a breaking of the old man. And notice this, and gave them to the disciples. Now it's been blessed. The provision has been made. And by the way, the Lord's body was broken for us. But watch this now. And he set before them of the 2 fishes and divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And here's a good part. And they took up 12 baskets. Who's they? The disciples. The disciples. Why did they get 12 baskets? One for each of them to look at. What did they start out with? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Can you imagine? I don't know how big the baskets were, but I don't think they ever got empty. Do you? I don't think they ever got empty. Now that in itself would be amazing. You're just handing it out. You know? Where's the bottom? And then, wait a minute. Everybody's going, oh, no more. And there I am with what God has done. When we have the faith to ask God, get me out of my thinking, God. Because we limit God. Ready? God says, you feed them. We say, two penny worth, what's that? Even if we could do that, what's that among so many? That's where we think. See, we limit God. When we can come to the place and say, God, you've asked me to do this. I have no idea how you want me to do it. How do I do that? You have commanded me. When you look at something in the Word of God that God is saying that He wants His people to do today, don't try to figure it out or devise some plan in your own strength to do it. Ask God. Because God still needs to show you and I, as he showed those disciples. We think because we got an inside look that we don't have to go through that. Oh no, we have to go through that. Because we are so ingrained with our thinking, God has to get us into His. And that's a process. And so when we're willing to say, God, you show me, then guess what will happen? We will see. We will see and enter into the rest and the joy. Did he say the trials would go away? Oh no, but the joy of God will be there and the peace of God. So tonight, here's a spiritual command, and our natural tendency is to rationalize it in our own mind instead of saying, God, show me how to do it, and watch what God will do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you for your word, the light truly that it brings into our hearts and minds, and the life and the joy and the peace that we see. Lord, may we call upon you and ask you to perform that in our lives. Bless this rest of the evening as we break off for prayer and the rest of the week. Bless Northwood Baptist Church tonight and all your churches. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.